Step number 21. With your odometer reading 6.97 miles, keep left onto Faison Lakes Road and remain on Faison Lakes Road as it winds through this lovely lake community. Use caution. This road also contains a bike trail. Follow the center line to remain on Faison Lakes Road. Step 22. Odometer reading 7.75 miles. Here you'll see a taste of reality, a small deli. If you're looking for a snack or something to drink, this would be a good spot. Then, cross the first of two causeways of the Butler Reservoir and take a look at the large home across the lake on the hill. Step 23. Your odometer reading should be 9.13. Turn left at the stop sign onto Route 618 towards the speed limit 35 sign on Kinnelon Road. If the car you are driving has low front end or a scoop, you may want to avoid the only dirt road on today's event. It's 1.6 miles of rough road. Make a right instead at this intersection to proceed to Route 23 North and skip to instruction number 39. But for those who are continuing on Kinnelon Road, take note. Ahead is the Decker Kincaid House, a farmstead and a residence at 591 Powerville Road. It was built in 1785, and there was an addition made in 1837. The house exemplifies the farmstead architectural typical of the Boonton Township area. The prosperity of the township's farmers during this period is evident in their houses, some of which retain a great deal of original architectural detail. The Decker Kincaid site, including the farm stand and the outbuildings, was originally owned by the Decker family, who began farming the surrounding land in the late 18th century. The house was occupied by former Mayor Oscar Kincaid, a Decker descendant, until his death in 2000. It was Kincaid's wish that the house, which has few modern conveniences, be preserved as a museum and the community center. The surrounding farmland was preserved with funding from Morris County's Open Space Trust Fund in 2002. The house, now owned by the Boonton Township Historical Society, is undergoing renovation and restoration. It features an enigmatic face painting whose origins and meaning remain a mystery to locals, as well as professional art historians and conservators. This site was placed on the State and National Registers of Historic Places in 2005. Step 24, odometer reading 13.18 miles. Turn right onto Rockaway Valley Road. Here you'll see on your left the Aircraft Radio Corporation Airport. This is a rural setting within sight of New York City, and it's the Aircraft Radio Division of Radio Frequency Laboratories, RFL, which had started in 1922 in Boonton as a radio technology research organization, developing and holding numerous patents and employing such radio pioneers as Edward Weston, Leslie M. Hull, and Stuart Ballantyne. RFL developed technologies but did not manufacture products. However, when it developed an aviation radio division in 1924, the division, ARC, soon outgrew its parent company with the success of its aviation radios developed and manufactured in Boonton. Pioneer aviator Jimmy Doolittle kept his plane at the ARC hangar and teamed with ARC to accomplish the world's first blind landing, landing an airplane solely by reference to instruments, the first milestone in developing today's all-weather instrument flight capability. Step 25. Your odometer reading, 13.87 miles. Please bear right on Stone Road, followed by an immediate right at the T intersection onto Split Rock Road. Step 26. Odometer reading, 14.66. Bear right to remain on Split Rock Road. This is the Wildcat Ridge Wildlife Management Area. This WMA was the site of the Hibernia Mines, Beach Glen Mines, and the Orland Upper Hibernia Mine, one of New Jersey's longest-running and most productive iron districts between 1722 and 1930. All of the mine shaft openings have been closed off for the safety of the public. There are various industrial and iron worker community ruins at each of the mine sites and scattered throughout the wildlife management area. Iron tailings and ore pieces can be found throughout, but they are considered part of the historic site and should not be collected. The Hibernia Mine was one of the largest of bat hibernacula on the East Coast, with a native population of 25,000 until they were decimated by white nose syndrome. Hawkwatch, a well-known birder spot, 16 species of migrating hawks can be seen soaring the thermals, as well as a magnificent vista of highlands, ridges, and valleys to the south if you are up for a challenging hike on the Orange Hibernia Brook Trail. Step 27, trip odometer reading 15.82 miles. The road turns to unpaved. Use caution. There are a lot of potholes here that can damage your car. Step 28, odometer reading 16.63 miles. Use caution as you pass over the Split Rock Dam. This is a narrow roadway. Watch for oncoming traffic and obey the traffic light that controls one-way traffic over the dam. This dam was built in 1947 and 48 to transform Split Rock Pond into a reservoir. The Split Rock Reservoir is a 1,500-acre wilderness, part of Farney State Park, surrounding a 650-acre reservoir, located on the borders of Rockaway Township, Kinlon in Morris County. Split Rock, along with the nearby Booton Reservoir, provides water for Jersey City, New Jersey. The reservoir is surrounded by woods and can be reached by traveling a mile on a dirt road known as Split Rock Road. The reservoir is 3 miles from end to end, with many large islands. There is a man-made dam on the southwest end of the reservoir. The reservoir and surrounding natural area were open to the public on November 21st, 2003. After you pass the parking lot, but before the traffic light, tucked into the valley on the left is the Split Rock Furnace, a charcoal furnace used to separate iron from the iron ore of the nearby magnetite mines. Iron furnaces played an important role in our history. They were crucial contributors that drove us to a more modern world, making iron products from iron ore. Thousands of iron furnaces had once scattered the northeastern portion of the United States in the 18th and 19th centuries. Most are gone, and more are just crumbled remains, but there are still a few that remain standing. Split Rock Furnace is an exceptional example. The furnace wasn't the first iron-producing structure on the site. Not long after the Revolutionary War had ended, a crude oil furnace was built in this area in 1793 by Ebenezer Ferrand. But nothing remains of that crude furnace. As with most iron furnaces during that time, Split Rock Furnace had a village that surrounded it. The village consisted of a company store, worker houses, and an ore roasting kiln. The ore roasting kiln was used to remove impurities before the ore was removed to the furnace. There seems to have been a total of 14 structures in the area, although little remains of the village itself. You may find some rock foundations near the furnace site.